Before we get started, a quick warning, there's some swearing in this episode.
It's Thursday morning in the Garden District of New Orleans. The rain started overnight, and there are no signs of it letting up. Outside the hotel, a shuttle is waiting to take teams over to the venue where the Startup Bus Pitch Competition kicks off in just a few hours. Teams from Florida, San Francisco, Ohio, they're all milling about in the lobby eating a continental breakfast. Colleen Lavin from Daisy, the funeral planning app, is practicing her pitch to herself under her breath.
Daisy will be joining a rapidly growing $20 billion a year industry with no major competitors. Daisy is poised to kill it.
There is one team I don't see. Denari, the blockchain team. So I head up to the floor where they're staying.
Denari!
And it's like a scene out of Scooby-Doo. People are running across the hallway, they're in between rooms, opening doors, slamming them. I spot Colleen Wong and try to stop her.
Hi, Colleen. How are you?
We're like freaking out, no. We don't have our pitch deck ready because Anne, Gail, and I both like fell asleep and we set our alarms. She set her alarm for 30 minutes. I set my alarm for like 5 a.m. And like, I woke up and it was 8:30 and I was like, fuck, like, aren't we supposed to be downstairs by 8:30?
Dude, I am freaking out. Why?
I'm
just so fucking mad at myself.
I walk into the room and Anne Gale is sitting on the bed, knees propped up with a laptop resting on them.
I'm just so mad at myself.
We'll pull together something. It doesn't have to be like perfect.
It doesn't have to be perfect, but my whole pride as a designer is that I can make something that looks beautiful. And if I make something that looks any less than what the vision is in my head, I feel like I genuinely am just so disappointed. Oh, boy. My alarm just went off.
From Gimlet Media, this is Startup, the show about what it's really like to start a business. I'm Eric Mennel. All this week, we've been following a group of young entrepreneurs as they compete in the Startup Bus Competition. Today is day 4 of our trip. It is the day we have been careening towards at 60 miles per hour all week. It's competition day. The teams from New York will be facing off against the rest of the buses in the preliminary round of pitching. Now, if you haven't listened to the first 3 episodes of the series, I would highly recommend you go back and do that and get to know some of the people competing today. All right, let's get to it. The teams get on the shuttle and head over to the pitch venue, about a mile away. It's a 3-story co-working space, a giant concrete room with glass offices along the edge and a lofted second floor. Every corner, every office is filled with different teams from around the U.S. and Mexico. One of the first teams I see is Corsaline from Tampa.
There's that Gimlet Media guy again.
You may remember Corsaline from Tuesday. I met them in Charlotte. They're the two guys who seemed like the best friends there ever were, just rolling right along. This is from that conversation the other day.
Within the first hour, we already had pivoted 2 or 3 times. It was incredible. Yeah. Like, yes, validated.
When I see them here in New Orleans, I think to myself, surely they must have had some hiccups by now. Here's one of their founders, Trey.
Honestly, I've competed in a lot of these competitions. This is one of the best teams I've ever been a part of.
Damn it, really?
One of the most well-composed, driven teams. Immediately sat down and got to work, so I think because of that reason alone, I'm feeling pretty good about where we are.
It's about 10 a.m. now, an hour or so before the pitching starts. I walk upstairs, and in a back corner of the building, I find Team Fishley. They have big grins on their faces, and they're high-fiving each other. Turns out, last night they launched a beta test of their software. They tried to fish all the people who run Startup Bus, the mentors, the organizers. They wanted to see whose passwords they could steal.
We just found out that we just got the data back. We ran a fish. Vade, talk about it.
This is the stats of all the people we attempted to fish and got.
This is Vade, a developer.
How many did you get?
So of the conductors, the 13 conductors, we got 6 of them.
That's amazing.
But think, we could have gotten the passwords for the emails of 6 conductors. It's amazing that such a simple thing could have compromised the livelihoods of 6 people. But like, we got actual people.
Almost directly below Fishley, on the ground floor, Colleen Lavin from Daisy is pacing by herself.
Getting close to the wire here.
Yeah, just practicing?
Yeah, practicing. Took a little time to like listen to the Hamilton soundtrack to just amp up.
Is that what song?
I'm not throwing away my shot.
Let's get this girl in front of a crowd. Hamilton? Anyone? No? All right. Around the corner, Denari's out of bed and at the venue. I spot Ash. Ash had a tough week. He was at the center of a couple arguments on the team. At one point, there was discussion of him even leaving Denari. But the turnaround's been pretty remarkable in the last 24 hours, and he feels good about what the team's done.
Everyone should really be proud that, like, we're all here in one piece and everyone, like, has something to show to someone. That's a great achievement, regardless of anything else.
You look proud.
Yeah. I'm proud of everyone. I'm proud of myself. I'm proud of Colleen. I'm proud of AJ. I really am happy to see, like, this is why I love the U.S.
Ash, remember, moved here from Egypt when he was 17.
It's good that people are having this kind of, like, opportunities here. It reminds me of why I packed my bags and, like, decided to make an opportunity here for myself so I could help other places, like my home country, become something similar to this, you know?
While Ash is taking the time for some reflection, two other members of Denari, Adam and Parker, look like they've just walked out of a hall of mirrors. They have these completely freaked out expressions on their faces.
This entire thing is like some kind of weird Truman Show, like, psychotropic experience.
At first, I think Parker's talking about me. I mean, I've been following him around with a microphone for 4 days straight. But he's actually realizing some deeper truth about Startup Bus itself. The teams have been getting different information about the competition all day. They're hearing conflicting things about timing, about whether or not pitch decks are allowed. And this confusion, it all feels weirdly intentional. Parker thinks he's figured out why.
This is a Navy SEAL training program for startups. This is like, we're going to push you to the limit of your mental strength. Like, every single person on our team is now, like, living in a role that's very different from what they walked on the bus wanting to do. You're pitching.
Parker's talking to Adam here, who's about to pitch for Denari on the main stage. And I feel like it's worth hearing what Adam sounded like when he first got on the bus. This is him on Monday.
I'm nervous.
Yeah, what about?
Well, I'm new to this thing. I'm new to hackathons and startups. I'm a risk-averse, cautious person, so, like, me doing this is just, like, very outside of my element.
Compare that to Adam now, as he stands across from Parker here in New Orleans.
This whole thing has been what I've been about for so long, like, this whole idea that we're pitching here, and, like, now I'm on a bus where it's, like, I'm being taught how to, like, raise myself up to realize it, you know? So it's, like, there's no reason not to be hype as fuck. Like, that's the point, right? Like, I'm here, take advantage of it.
Adam punches one hand into the other, and then, as he walks away, jumps to smack the low-hanging balcony.
All right, Startup Bus. Let's get this competition underway.
Everybody gathers on the third floor in this giant concrete space as one of the organizers kicks off the pitches. So here's how the next 3 hours are going to go. There are 22 teams in total. The judges are a few people who help run Startup Bus, along with some guests from the New Orleans tech community. About half the teams, 10 of them, will move on to the semifinals later tonight. And of those 10, only 5 will move on to the finals tomorrow. The setup for the pitches is, in a word, janky. There's a microphone plugged into an old guitar amp, and it's very prone to feedback. And given the size and concreteness of this room, the teams all sound like they're pitching from the bottom of a well. There are about 200 people milling about at any given moment, watching the pitches, preparing their own. The first team up to pitch is called Presence. They're a team of people from San Francisco and Ohio. And the room goes silent. This pitch will set the baseline for the rest of the competition.
Hey guys, I'm Raphael, and we're working on Presence, a meta social media platform. We are your online passport, the Rome of social media, a contact book with superpowers, your Facebook about section on steroids.
Huh. Okay. But it doesn't take long for the energy to pick up. You might remember YetiGram, the singing telegram company from Tuesday in Charlotte. Well, today, the woman pitching comes out in a full Marilyn Monroe costume. White dress, wig, the whole getup. And she's written original lyrics.
You just gotta enjoy the ride and always shine. Refresh your sight because of terrible Wi-Fi. Because baby, you're on Startup Bus. Show them what your pitch is worth. Make them go up, ha, ha, as your value goes up, up, up.
With 22 teams, it's inevitably a mixed bag. Some of the ideas seem a little half-baked. Others are good ideas with a lackluster pitch. Still others seem like they've really got it together.
All right, give it up for Team Corsaline from Tampa.
Take Corsaline, the two guys from Tampa who became fast friends. Their company is trying to help universities offer classes that actually match the jobs available on the market. And, as you might expect, given how well their week went, the audience and judges are really responsive to their pitch.
Hi, everyone. My name's Trey, and I'm going to start this pitch with some audience participation. So, raise your hand if you graduated from a university.
Almost everybody in the crowd raises their hand.
Now, raise your hands if you graduated from university and you felt like you had the skills you needed to get the job you wanted and make an impact.
Now, at this point, maybe two people raise their hand.
Not many. And you're not alone. Universities can't keep up with the changing job market.
On the other side of the room, Kareem and Alex Romero from Team Fishley are practicing their pitch.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for having us here today. Do you know that 85% of U.S. companies this year are compromised with a phishing attack? What's phishing? That's a good question.
All right, setting up the next team. Give it up to Team Fishley from New York City.
Alex and Kareem take the floor. Alex bends over to grab the microphone, and then he yells into it, "We're not going to need the mic!
We're not going to need the mic!"
And he drops it on the ground, directly in front of that janky guitar amp.
Where do I put this?
Turn it off.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for having us here today. Do you know that 85% of U.S. companies this year were hacked and compromised by a phishing attack?
What's phishing?
That's a good question, Alex. Thanks for asking that. Phishing is a real problem.
The rhythm is good. Their timing is down. They tell the audience about their little fishing experiment the night before, and there are audible gasps.
It's not good news. Over 40% of conductors actually clicked the email and tried entering their credentials. Had this been a real attack, their credentials would have been compromised.
And then they lay out the platform and all it can do. The whole thing is a little corny, but Alex and Kareem seem totally aware of that. It's a real show. People are loving it.
Tell them the good news.
Are you sure?
Tell them.
All right. The good news is, Fishley is officially live.
Yeah!
After the pitch, there's a Q&A, which goes pretty well. They walk off stage, and everyone has huge smiles on their faces. Alex, in particular, has this sort of A-team quality about him.
I love it when a plan comes together.
It feels so good. You can see it in everyone's smile and eyes, and like they were laughing, and that was a key. That was great.
Denari's up soon. And like a drummer in an 80s hair metal band, Adam has decided to perform without any shoes. He's walking around the room in his socks. Grounding himself, he says.
I'm like in a zone of transcendence right now. I'm trying to stay very focused and like in the moment because something big is going to happen. And so like I'm just trying to stay very aware of what's happening. I'm like calm. I'm good. I'm good. I'm in the zone.
So we've got another team from New York City coming up here right now. Give it up for Denari.
Adam takes the stage. Be socked.
Luis is a pumpkin farmer in Venezuela. 6 months ago, a storm ripped through his town and destroyed his farm and his home. He lost his crops, he lost his business, and he lost his potential to earn money.
Parker McCurley, Adam's friend and teammate from Cleveland, is standing right next to me. He's watching Adam like a proud older brother.
I mean, I think this is his purpose. And I think if somebody follows their purpose, then all of the world conspires in your favor. So you just get to watch that happen. It's beautiful.
Introducing Denari, the first universal peer-to-peer giving platform that connects people around shared values. Over the past 24 hours, we've had over 250 people express interest in our platform. We're currently in conversations with CEOs from Amnesty International, Mercy Corps, Women 2.0, and social entrepreneurs in Myanmar, Singapore, Italy, Egypt. We're Denari, and we're here to make giving easier for everyone.
The rest of the team comes up for the Q&A. There's a question about whether the app works yet, and Denari says they can demo it later tonight if they make it to the semifinals. The team mostly has solid answers for the judges, but about 30 seconds before time is up, they get a tough one. A judge asks Colleen Wong, how is this not just going to turn into a money laundering platform?
How is this not going to get turned into a money laundering platform like overnight?
Of course, there are concerns about money laundering and funding terrorism, but we down the road, we're exploring a process in which we can have a solid vetting process in which we have people on the ground in the communities in these countries. Yeah.
She gets through it, but it's never a great sign when you have to use the phrase concerns about funding terrorism. They leave the stage, and after they've had a minute to collect themselves, I find Colleen Wong and ask her how she thinks it went.
I'm feeling bad about myself. I feel like I fucked up the Q&A. Like, I am terrible when I'm in front of people, like in a crowd, and I think my team was upset with the way I handled it.
You think they're upset?
Yeah. I totally got that impression, and I don't know. I don't feel like I'm a good leader most of the time.
Are you kidding me? Have you seen yourself this week?
I'm like, I don't know. I'm just not like very confident and like, I'm not like a typical, I don't know, like outspoken person.
But you like pulled together the like craziest team on the bus. Like it was a great thing.
I mean, I don't think it was me. I think it was just like timing and like how things went. So
but you were in charge.
Yeah.
The next and last team from New York is Daisy. They're huddled together on the far side of the room. Colleen Lavin and Rebecca, Daisy's CEO, give their thoughts on the competition so far.
I mentioned to Colleen that I thought the Telegram one that's singing was a little pitchy.
And then Colleen Lavin gets up to pitch. No microphone.
All right, can you hear me in the back? Awesome! Hi, I'm Colleen, and I'm here to talk about everyone's favorite topic, death. We are all going to die, and many of us have friends and family who we care deeply about who are also going to die. So most of us in this room, at one point in time or another, are going to have to deal with the horrific circus that is planning a funeral.
Daisy's one of the last companies to pitch this afternoon. 20 other teams had gone at this point. And through almost all of those pitches, the room remained pretty busy. People were walking in and out, they were mumbling in the back, typing away on their computers. It felt a little like a school cafeteria that happened to have a pitch competition going on in the corner. But as Colleen starts talking, something remarkable happens. The room goes silent. People in the back shuffle their way forward to the stage. They pull out cell phones and start taking videos. She commands the room in a way no other team has managed.
Daisy is a funeral planning platform that guides next of kin through each step of the funeral process from start to finish. It offers a funeral planning checklist, connects you to florists, caterers, funeral homes, and reception venues, showing you the average price per item for your area so you know what you're getting into and don't get oversold or scammed.
Her teammates are smiling from the side. They know it's going well. And then, that last line.
With no major competitors, Daisy is poised to kill it.
The team comes up for the Q&A. There's a question about how Daisy's going to market their product, and then there's a question that catches me off guard. Well, not so much the question as the answer. A judge asks what inspired the idea.
What inspired this idea?
Inspired the idea? My dad's been having a lot of health problems lately. So when I was visiting home last, we had to go to the estate lawyer. My mom mentioned buying a funeral plot, and I realized that I had no idea what I would do during that time. And I figured there were more people like me. So we decided to make this.
The Q&A wraps, Daisy exits, and the pitches end.
All right, that's the last of our teams for the preliminaries. Let's give it up for everybody who went through this experience and just pitched for you. The judges from here are going to take a 30-minute deliberation break, and we will announce who is making it into the second round tonight, which starts at 5.
The judges pack up their things and head into another room. I ask if I can join them for the discussion. They tell me no. But after about 20 minutes, I get a tap on the shoulder. And that's how I wind up in the room where it happens. The room where it happens. The room where it happens. Hamilton? Anybody? No? All right. That's after the break. So it had been about 20 minutes since the judges disappeared. And then something strange happened. One of the competition's organizers came up to me and said, "Hey, I was in there with the judges. They know you've been recording a lot. Do you want to come in and listen to the last few minutes of their discussion before we announce the winners?" And I said, "Yeah, that'd be great." So I follow the guy downstairs and I wait outside the glass room where the judges are. And then one of them signals for me to come in. I walk into the room with my microphone turned on. And I say,
"Hey, everyone."
"Hey, everyone." And that's it. For the rest of the time I'm in that room, I just record. I don't interject. What they explain is that they have made their decision. They've voted. And they know who they're sending to the semifinals. And what they want to do is just reenact the end of their conversation. So this tape starts right as I walk in.
So we've decided. We want to be careful, though, what gets recorded. Yeah. So... I mean, what...
Well, instead of, like, we could discuss a couple of the teams, but just say, like, that team or this team, instead of, like, you know, saying...
Should we just replay the last conversation we had?
Sure.
To be honest, I didn't think this would be that interesting. I was pretty sure I wouldn't even use it, because, I don't know, it's fake. But let's just let it play out.
We've said we're only going to send 10, which means we need to cut one of the last group. So... the last group is a bit of a mixed bag, but we have Titan, Fishley, Yetigram, Money Expert, and Lucking. Now, how are we going to decide what to cut there?
So 10 teams are moving on. They've got 11 that they like, so they're choosing one from the bottom five to cut. Those teams, Titan, Yetigram, Money Expert, Lucking, and Fishley.
There's one of those is a product that has already been done several times, and that would be my vote for who we decide to cut.
Yeah, I agree.
It's
like,
not unique enough.
If it exists, why should we? Yeah, it's already done all over the place, so question.
It's very easy to replicate.
Well, I think we're talking about the same team. Their presentation was off the chain. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And was probably one of my favorite pitches, but the fact is, it already exists 3, 4, 5 times over.
Yeah. But isn't that how most... Like, you think about it, most businesses are successful. It's already been a matured, commoditized industry.
But in their pitch, I didn't see how they were going to execute better.
Now I'm standing to the side, trying to piece together who they're talking about. Because, remember, at this point, this is supposed to be a reenactment. There's no names or anything. And best I can gather, a great pitch, a product that kind of already exists, I'm pretty sure they want to cut Fishley.
It really looked like an identical product with an identical client base and delivered in a near identical way.
And this is where things start to take a turn. The conversation the judges had been reenacting, they now just slip back into having that conversation. They start relitigating the decisions they'd made before I walked in the room. So one of them asks, "If we're worried about identical products, what about this other app from Mexico called Lucking? It's also been done before." "Yeah," they say, "but it could also tie into other apps, so that would make it more valuable." Then someone mentions Denari.
Because I thought their presentation was slick and
amazing. Oh, no, that's a shitstorm waiting to happen. Are you kidding me? One, like, they have so many regulatory hurdles. That's like go to prison kind of app. Like, somebody's going to test it. Yeah. So, I mean, either a user or the people behind it, someone's getting arrested for that app.
Then, one of the judges, the founder of Startup Bus, a guy named Elia, he makes an observation.
"Just one other thing, if we cut Fishley, which I think we've got a split table on that, there is no New York team appearing in the semifinals."
This really surprises me. You know as well as anyone that the New York bus had its troubles, but everyone I talked to felt pretty confident at least one New York team would be moving forward. As it stands now, that is not the case. And it's then that Elliot points something else out, something about the judges in the room.
"And I only want to flag, not because we have to have each bus represented, but
it's nice
I want to account for a bit of bias here, because three of the five of us here each have a geographic bias.
There's no New York rep in the room.
When you look around the table, there are judges from Tampa, New Orleans, and Mexico City. The Mexico City judge was actually one of the mentors on the Mexico City bus. But nobody affiliated with New York is in the room. And there was one interaction I observed that actually makes this point feel pretty relevant. The judges were talking about a company called Money Expert. It's a company from Mexico City. Now, most of the judges were on the fence about it. Money Expert didn't actually have a working product yet. But there was one judge, the judge affiliated with Mexico City, who was convinced they could make the working product by the semifinals that night. And she put up a real fight for Money Expert. And so they move forward. Back at the table, the judges take another look at the New York teams, just to see.
Wait, there's not three?
Who's the highest ranked New York team that we ranked collectively who almost made it?
The highest ranked New York team? Fishley was the highest ranked.
Oh no, I have Daisy as my highest ranked New York team.
Yeah, actually Daisy was my second vote. Yeah. If I could put, if I was gonna put, like, my 11 and 12 are tied with Daisy, so like 9.
It seems like the judges actually like Daisy, but it kind of fell into this weird middle ground where, because of the ranking system, they never discussed it once they got in the room. This is the first time they're bringing it up.
I actually went through this. My father passed away a year ago, and what actually happened was the whole family was in shock. Thank God for my sister-in-law. She knew exactly what to do.
And the easier and more user-friendly you can make that, the better off you are.
Right.
I mean, her pitch was hilariously awesome. I mean,
I'm actually surprised that I knew.
We all laughed about death, and they're like, and even the corniest last line was so cute.
They couldn't have gone out and casted a better person to do that pitch.
Yeah. Okay, so people like Daisy?
Yeah.
Let's drop Fishley and swap it out with Daisy. So now we've got a New York team that's swapped with another New York team. That's
so now you drop one.
But we still need to drop a team. Yeah. Okay.
So this means we're back where we started when I first walked in. They're letting 10 teams move forward. They have 11 that they like, so they need to cut one from the bottom. All that's different is they've swapped out Fishley and put Daisy in. Now this feels a little weird. The judges had made up their minds, and then they invited me in the room, started talking again, and they changed their minds. But also, I don't know, I didn't say anything. Mostly I think that when I walked in, it gave them an extra 5 minutes to think about their decision. And if something else happened, like if the lock on the door broke right now, and that gave them another 5 minutes, I'm not so sure things wouldn't change again. Anyway, they take another vote.
So I'll include all the bottom-ranked ones. So Titan, Daisy, Yetigram, Money Expert, and Lucking.
Judges are out. Everyone's gathering on the third floor to hear the announcement. Frank from Team Denari is standing in the middle of the crowd. His arms are folded.
Well, we're going to find out here soon who's going in the next round, so I hope it's some New York people.
The moment of truth. The moment of truth.
The judges gather up front.
First of all, everybody who pitched it, give yourselves a hand. That was we had a lot of tough choices to make. And actually, we thought we had made the choices, and then we started talking.
Yeah, we didn't want to get recorded by the startup podcast, and then we said once we decided, we allowed them to come in, and we're just going to pretend to talk, and we completely changed the results.
Oh, boy.
It was actually interesting, and I'm glad we did that. It was a much more effective judging process.
It really was. And so no one should be disappointed with the results today.
They start announcing the teams moving on to the next round.
So I think I'll start announcing who's going to be pitching in the semifinals. The first team...
Wait.
Is everybody calm, ready for this? The first team is Yetigram from Tampa. The second team is Del Campo from Mexico City. Daisy from New York City. U.S. Canada.
I totally was ready for disappointment.
In the end, only one New York team moves forward. Daisy. You can tell Fishley and Denari are both disappointed. Everyone genuinely thought at least Fishley would be making it through. But it's not pure heartbreak. Angel and Adam are standing next to each other.
How are you feeling? Like,
a weird sense of relief and a weird sense of sadness.
Like, I'm bummed that we're not going on, but, you know, I think we all did the best we could here. I'm not disappointed with what we've accomplished.
But there is still one New York team in the running, Daisy. And right now they are literally running down the stairs to find a quiet place to prep for the semifinal round. It starts in just an hour or so. The next 60 minutes are a whirlwind. The team decides what they want to add to their pitch for the next round and what they hope they don't get asked about.
And I really hope they don't look at this code. It's kind of lame. Take that out.
So funny.
No, but I want someone to hire me.
Focus. The next thing you know, Colleen is back on stage, pitching her heart out.
The average funeral costs $8,000 to $10,000 apiece. That leaves grieving families to deal with making difficult, expensive decisions in an already emotional, challenging time.
Thank you. How are you feeling? You did a great job with your memorization.
I had to check twice. That's okay.
The rest of the team's pitch, and the judges disappear again. I do not ask to sit in this time. I learned my lesson. Oof. The judges come back, and they take the stage to announce who's going to the finals. Only 5 teams will make it.
So, the moment that you're all waiting for, the people who will be pitching tomorrow, the first team is Course Align. The second team is Daisy.
Yeah! Yes! 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 Yes!
That's Madalena, who's been standing with Daisy this whole time.
Yes! Yes!
In the end, they announce 5 teams. Course Align, the 2 guys from Tampa. Daisy, Initiate Today, an employee onboarding software. There's a company making specialty bike pedals called Drop-In Pedals, and a website from Mexico called Del Campo that cuts the middleman out of produce distribution. A DJ starts blasting music as soon as the finalists are announced. The teams have until tomorrow afternoon to work on their products, and Madalena makes it clear. For Daisy, work is what's in store.
No party for all of you tonight. No party. And try to pack it.
Leave this room and go have a talk.
All right, let's do it. Work, work, work. All right. We did it.
Roll, take me off. A rolled sweatshirt makes the window soft. If I fall asleep, don't wake me up. Roll, bus, roll, take me up. I wasn't designed to move so fast. I wasn't designed to have so much past. And in my mind's eye...
Startup's regular host is Lisa Chow. This episode was produced by Bruce Wallace, Luke Malone, Simone Polanin, Amy Standen, and Max Gibson. Our senior producer is Molly Messick. We're edited by Annie Rose Strasser. I'm Eric Mennel. Our theme song is by Bobby Lord. Bill Buildings wrote and performed our special ad music. Roll Bus Roll is by Jeffrey Lewis. For full music credits, visit our website, gimletmedia.com/startup. David Herman and Ian Scott mixed the episode. Special thanks to Alex Bloomberg, Emmanuel Berry, Bobby Lord, Matthew Bull, and Alvin Melleth. To subscribe to Startup, go to Apple Podcasts or whichever app you like to use. And while you're there, leave a review. It's your chance to let the world know how you feel.
I'm not throwing away my shot.
Find out more about the show at the Gimlet Media website, gimletmedia.com. Thanks for listening. There is one more episode left in our series, the big reveal, the grand finale, that is coming your way tomorrow.